Hello, fine folks of all shapes and sizes. Zach and Connor back for everyone's favourite podcast series they don't know exists. And today, we have some treats for you. We'll be discussing some more up-and-coming games that have been recently revealed and also providing our thoughts on Thor, Love and Thunder and the Kenobi series. Plenty to unpack, so let's get stuck into this next round of Newsreel.
Hello, everyone. We are back again with another newsreel. We're covering some hot topics this week. We're going to go a little bit movie and TV-esque, aren't we, Zach? We're going to a bit of media.
We got a good 50-50 split going on today, ladies and gents.
It's quite efficient, actually. We've managed to plan this quite well, haven't we? Two for two. Two and two.
Sometimes these things just work out for us. Other times it's a hot mess. So
that's all part of the fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll start with the. Oh, I don't know. Do you want to start with the small or the big?
We'll start small because I feel like with the bigger topics, we've got the chance to ramble. So
it's small topic.
We'll stay hyper efficient to begin with, and then we can just let it trail off as it normally does with a newsreel episode, right?
We'll just ramble for days.
So I think our first topic should be there is an untitled Terminator game in the works at the moment, or if you check on the developer's website, it's named the Terminator Survival Project. So this is in development by a studio called Nacon Milan Studio, and they're based in Italy, as it would indicate by Milan. They have described the game as being an open world survival game where you play as a group of survivors fighting to stay alive. And it's supposedly set between the events of Judgment Day when the bombs fall and the formation of the resistance, John Connor's resistance. So it's going to be in that kind of that stage before humanity has got their shit together and fighting back. So I imagine there's going to be maybe a little bit of a horror element chucked in there as well.
Survival horror Terminator.
Yeah.
I've seen it all.
I can't say that I really hate the idea. I think it's a really good one.
I think it's an interesting vibe for sure, isn't it? Like, I mean, ironically, I think this and the next game we're going to talk about in a second, I get the same kind of vibe from both of them, you know what I mean?
What, you mean 80s action films out of the blue getting a game all of a sudden?
Who asked for this? you know what I mean? Who asked for these games? I mean, yeah. I like Terminator, don't get me wrong, we're a big fan. Obviously, we went and we even saw the second one, didn't we, in the cinema?
We did the 3D, yeah, when they did the anniversary, yeah.
And that was super good, that was really enjoyable.
That was really, really good.
Definitely a good shout. That was because second one's awesome.
It's a banger, isn't it, mate? Yeah,
banger. Third one is
ooh.
The third one's not amazing, I guess. Second one is the best one.
Like, controversially, there are elements of Salvation that I really enjoyed. The film overall, I think, is kind of weak, but it actually gave us a film set in the post-apocalyptic part.
Yeah, it's something set in the past, right? Yeah,
exactly. So with this gives us a golden opportunity to step into that kind of uncovered route. I mean, that's not necessarily true because they did Terminator Resistance a little while
ago. Resistance existed, didn't it? And that was like a FPS, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was actually, funnily enough, because it had like that Choices Matter kind of style to it as well. It almost had a little bit of a cyberpunk kind of ideal for it, where it was like almost like a role play game, first person.
It's a bit linear, though, isn't it? It's not like not open world, is it?
I haven't played it myself, so obviously I don't have a lot of kind of personal experience to draw from there. But from what I saw, it looked kind of interesting, a little bit promising. This one, we know very little about. It was on Steam, yeah.
9 out of 10 on Steam.
Yeah, so I mean, there were plenty of, especially Terminator fans, that were really, really excited for it and really happy with the result. So, and you consider, how many good Terminator games have you played? Can you kind of list any? I think the last one that I played that I really enjoyed was Dawn of Fate on PlayStation 2.
Mate, I'm going to be real with you. I don't know the last time I played a Terminator game.
Really? Yeah.
That it might have been that one. It was one. I remember playing one very vividly.
Was it third person? You played as Kyle Reese and other members of the Resistance?
No, I thought it was first person.
First person. That might have been maybe Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines.
It could be the video game for that, yeah, if it got a game. Yeah,
maybe. But yeah, the last one that I played that I really thoroughly enjoyed was Dawn of Fate. That was a really good one. And that was kind of interesting because that gave you kind of the lead up to the events of him going back in time as well. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty pretty canon friendly.
Yeah.
And you got some good time because he mentions in the film about his commander. He's under a guy called Perry, and you actually get to play as Perry, and he's a bit of a bold, tatted badass. So he's a pretty cool character. But this new untitled Terminator game, I think, kind of for my initial reaction to it, I'm quite intrigued, I think is the best way I can put it. We've got a very short kind of 26 second teaser that basically just shows kind of a derelict warehouse and then a T-800 endo opening up the warehouse, kind of scanning, looking for humans to kill.
It's more of a just kind of atmosphere trailer, isn't it, really?
Pretty much. Yeah,
it sort of sets the mood. Sets the mood of the world and the tone of kind of the art style you're looking at here, rather than this is the gameplay for the game, or well, anything for the game, right? Because it doesn't even have a name at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. What I would love to see as well, and what I was thinking to myself when I was watching that little teaser trailer, I'd like it if it kind of played out a little bit like, have you ever played Sir, You Are Being Hunted?
See, I've heard of this game on Steam, and I actually might even own this game on Steam, but I've never played it myself.
Yeah, really, really interesting, actually, with that game. So you're a human, and you are kind of, you've warped into an alternate dimension where robots have kind of taken over the planet, and they are like, it's the robot gentry. So they're all walking around with double-barreled shotguns, and they hunt humans for sport. Very much in the way that the gentry of Britain, say for instance, would hunt pheasant.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a really cool parody on kind of that kind of element of British society, right? It's really, really cleverly done. But it had a really good kind of mix of inventory management, crafting, stealth and combat balance as well. There were a lot of elements to that game that I think would translate quite well to this one if that's the direction that they're going down.
This is a game that can this is a game that could be immediately extremely joyous or very stressful, you know.
Definitely.
Because we obviously don't know, right? Are you playing as a Terminator? Are you playing as a human? You know what I mean? Because immediately, right, that's going to shift the tone of the game completely.
Yeah. So the devs have already come out and said that you were... The very limited information that they've given is that, yeah, like I said, it will be described as an open-world survival game where you play as a group of survivors fighting to stay alive. So it may very well be that you're not restricted to one character, or that could be indicating that it's going to be the emphasis that will be on cooperative play.
Do you know what the concern is? The concern here is, though.
What's that, my friend?
Asymmetric.
Yeah.
Do you think?
But if it's an open world survival game, I don't think that lends itself well to asymmetric.
I don't think so either, but really things have been done.
Yeah, because I mean, asymmetric games, they tend to be kind of like quick fire, like maybe 20 minute rounds at best. This feels like the fact that they've described it as an open world survival game, this is going to be kind of this is going to have longevity to it.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe State of Decay meets Terminator.
Yeah.
That kind of deal, right?
State
of Decay a la Terminator.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be a pretty good way of describing it. They haven't really suggested whether it's going to be kind of first person or third person either. So, yeah, it very well could be just State of Decay with endos instead of zombies, right?
I mean, that's not exactly a bad vibe.
No, not necessarily. No, I think I think with the to really capture the kind of how harsh that world is, though, I feel like it's going to have to be quite difficult, isn't it? Yeah. Because, I mean...
Oh, yeah, of course, 100%.
Post-atomic wasteland, not really a great place for resources, right?
No.
I mean, you know, obviously we've all played Fallout, so we know how bad that is. But, I mean, Fallout tends to add a little bit, an element of kind of whimsy and it has almost a bit of a comedic kind of satire to it, whereas Terminator is really bleak.
More kind of grimdark, isn't it, Terminator?
It's very grim. Yeah, there's no comedy or no kind of relief to be found there, is there? Yeah.
Yeah, I've always said, like, out of, like, you know, kind of end of the world apocalypse like scenarios, right? Terminator is a pretty bad one to get, isn't it, in the dice roll.
Definitely. And it's also, you know, I mean, you look at the way that technology has come along as well. It's the idea back in the 80s was revolutionary, and it's been scarily accurate.
I mean, you are not wrong there, man. It is, yeah. It's quite the idea of a potential robot uprising is a very real fear in the future. Yeah, it's not the one you want, really. Like zombies would be bad, obviously, but, you know, hey, it's not too bad. It depends on the zombies.
They run, we're fucked, mate.
28 days later, it's fucking GG, obviously, yeah, straight away, it. Right?
I'm like, going to tap out. I'm going to just tap out there.
No coming back from that. No. But robots, killer robots, I don't know. It's not a good one. Like, you see, like, how fucked humanity is in the films, yeah? Like, how completely helpless humanity is, right? To the Skynet and to the, you know, the Terminators and stuff like that, right?
Yeah,
and it's just mad. So, like, it's gonna be quite good, actually, that in a game, I reckon. It's gonna create a very, I think, intense scenario, right? Because the Terminators are scary. Like, I don't think they're very, you know, they're obviously not very friendly looking, and they are weird because, you know, they've got the human teeth in it as well, and like, yes, the you know, the the bone structure.
They're a macabre parody on humanity destroying itself.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The fact that they are skeletons, you know, they are metal skeletons, it's very much, it's a statement, isn't it? Yeah.
Definitely.
So I've always loved the idea and the premise behind the Terminator saga. Like, even though a lot of the later films haven't been very good,
proper bad.
I've always liked that series, and I've always liked the idea behind it. So
yeah, 100%. Man.
I think the only direction that this could go down that I would be kind of a little bit meh with is if they tried to do it kind of like Rust or...
Oh, like a survival,
you
know, one, yeah.
Yeah, like, or like a Minecraft-esque game.
That
wouldn't suit Terminator.
No, I don't think that's a... I don't think that's needed. I don't think that's a needed part of it, right?
Yeah, definitely not. I don't think that would lend itself well. So if that's the route they're going down, I think that would be a bit of a dud. But
that would be the worst scenario. I think if they did a if we were looking at, like I said, like a State of Decay esque kind of world, but with Terminators, I reckon that could be really interesting. I think the whole crafting mechanic, it's okay, but like when it comes into like crafting and like base building and stuff like that, yeah, it just starts turning into like Minecraft, right? And it just gets a little bit.
Yeah, because I mean,
not about it.
State of Decay has like base building light,
yeah,
kind of mechanics to it, but it's, you know, it's kind of limited to the sense that you can't literally build anywhere or do anything. You know, there's like, there are limitations based on what you have and where you are.
Yes.
So I feel like that would definitely be a better way to go about it. But yeah, like the whole Minecraft thing, I don't think would work at all.
No, not at all. Not in slightest.
I could only find one other game that Nacon Studio Milan has actually worked on, and it was called Rims Racing. It's a racing simulator game. So I'm curious to see how they will fare making something for this franchise and of this scale, because it's a very different game that they're building here for the Terminator, right?
Yeah, like that's interesting, isn't it? That's the only game they've done, and now they've kind of jumped onto it like an IP, like Terminator, right? You know, fairly big IP.
Yeah.
Weird, a little weird.
Yeah. So I mean, it's maybe a little bit of a gamble, but then again, I think, like you've said, right? Nobody was really expecting this game, so it to kind of come out of nowhere from a developer that hasn't really had a lot of games under its belt, this could be a real proving point for that dev studio. This is a real turning point for them. If they can pull this off, that's a big deal for them.
100%, right? Yeah. I reckon it's very well could cement the studio's name, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if they made the first successful Terminator, you know, I say that, right? Like Resistance wasn't good. I can't honestly say that. But like, you imagine this, like the first large scale Terminator game to come out and actually wow people.
Yeah, like one that obviously has got a bit more of a spotlight, right? A bit more of a push forward. And to be fair, I think our next game might actually help it, like you said, right? Because they are very similar, aren't they?
Yeah, they are definitely tapping into that same kind of vein of 80s nostalgia here. With speaking of RoboCop, Rogue City, which is the next game on our agenda.
Now, RoboCop. Now,
again, like we were saying before, like RoboCop's actually again another really good franchise, right? That's still there's a lot of fun to be had with that, and that's pretty brutal back in the day. I was having a chat with my dad actually about it a little while ago, and he was saying, like, you know, when RoboCop was released, especially when Murphy gets murdered, like that's a pretty fucking gruesome scene in the film.
We hadn't seen
like that before, right? So, like, I mean, there are like limbs getting blown off, and also that's a pretty you know, that film earned its 18 certificate back in the day. So, and it really kind of epitomized the violence that, you know, that was kind of quite common in Detroit.
Yeah,
that point in time, right?
It was the burn, wasn't it? Like the melting skin scene,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, when Meat Boy drives that truck into the chemical vat,
yeah,
and he comes out, he's all like mangled and
he's all like muted, and he's like, oh god, yeah, that's,
and he just gets it with a car and he just explodes.
Yeah, I remember that. Holy, that was, oh damn, man.
It's metal. Yeah. That was metal.
It was proper. It was proper graphic, wasn't it? Proper gory.
Very, very graphic. So
yeah, and the worlds once again, right? It's another like dark sci-fi world, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, it's definitely a dystopian future.
It's a dystopian future, yeah.
And it's not too dissimilar from the kind of the present that we had at that time. So it's really it's actually in a lot of ways. You know how like with the Michael Keaton Batman films, it was kind of like a dark kind of parody of that time.
Yeah.
It was kind of trying to play on a kind of almost like a 1950s New York almost, wasn't it? Yeah. But with the Gothic architecture.
With that kind of techno.
Yeah.
Infusion, right?
Definitely. Whereas RoboCop has definitely tapped into Detroit from the 80s, but it just modernized a few bits and pieces. You know, like there are weapons, but they've got like giant fucking la-di-da scopes on them and stuff like that to try and make them look a little bit more futuristic. And it's again, like we said with the Alien films back in the day, when they tried to tap into what they thought the future would look like, RoboCop is an example of that as well, right? So they're kind of, we've got modern graphics, but they're trying to step back into that vision of what the future would look like for Detroit for RoboCop, which is great.
Yeah, the future is chrome and neon.
Yeah, and DeLoreans and plasma screens and stuff, right? Yeah.
Oh my god, dude!
It's great. It's so good because it gives you a sense of nostalgia, even though it's supposed to be set in the future. It's great, right?
It's that. Yeah, it is that. Like, hasn't aged very well now, right? But you still look at it fondly, you know.
Absolutely, man.
Another one that did that. You watch The Running Man as well?
The Running Man is brilliant. Yeah.
Great film. Also, one that comes to mind. It's like, you know, weird, slightly future dystopian world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's it. You know, Hunger Games was the, that's just the modern day Running Man, right?
Yeah. The Running Man was the OG.
Basically the same premise.
I don't know why that one came to mind either. I guess it's another one of those ones, right? You know, old school Schwarzenegger kind of.
But basically action film, anything that Arnie was in the 80s, yeah.
And the 80s Arnie film is like exactly, you know, it's exactly that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, even some of the stuff he did later, there's lots of like futuristic elements to it. Like I always loved, there's a film called Eraser that he did. I think that might be early 90s.
Yeah.
But that was like the first film that I ever saw mention of like a rail gun, and they were like man portable rail guns with like infrared X-ray scopes on them and stuff like that. And it was the kind of a daft premise, but it was kind of cool at the same time. Right. And
it's, yeah, for sure.
Kind of, again, sci-fi elements that they think we were going to go towards at that time, but kind of never came of anything.
Like, so looking at the trailer for this one, it's obviously a lot more substantial than Terminator was, right? There's a lot more
going
on here.
We've got actual gameplay for this, right?
Actual gameplay has been shown off, right? But the actual loop, though, the gameplay loop, to my knowledge, isn't really shown in the game. You know what I mean? So is it an open world game, for example? Is it a linear story game?
So, I mean, my first real impression of it is that, obviously we're looking at a first person shooter here.
Yeah.
I saw some potential in there from some of the gameplay with regards to like that kind of kick and shoot gameplay that we had from the game Bulletstorm. If you remember that one from back in the day.
Yes, I do indeed.
Where like you can see in the trailer, like RoboCop's grabbing hold of enemies, chucking them against walls, kicking dumpsters at people and stuff like that. So there's going to be a little bit more of a dynamic first person shooter experience. It's not just going to be guns. There's going to be like environmental kills to have. And that kind of thing as well.
I think Bulletstorm is quite a good one to pick, actually, you know, because the little bit of gameplay shown, it does look kind of similar, doesn't it? Environmental hazards, interacting with the world around you. Because obviously RoboCop, right, if you've seen the films, you know the nature of the character. He's very static, isn't he?
Yeah,
very well. I hate to use the phrase. He's very robotic.
Yeah, he's not an agile hero, is he really? His movements are very stiff and cumbersome, right?
Yeah,
because he's mostly machine at that point.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? He's not like, he's not bendy either, right? He's in a robot, but he's still, you know, he still irks along, doesn't he? You know?
Yeah.
He still kind of shambles along to places.
I mean, but he's armor plated and he's super strong. So he's kind of like, he's slow, but with purpose, isn't
he? Yeah, slow, but with purpose. And to be honest, the only thing I think they missed a trick here, is not putting the fucking theme song in the trailer.
Yeah, that would have been a good throwback.
That would have been super. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they missed a trick there. Why didn't they put the theme song in the trailer? Because that's iconic. That's Robocop, isn't it? Like, because the trailer is actually, it portrays itself, doesn't it, as quite serious.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
quite serious. Yeah. Like, whereas when you think of the original RoboCop trailer, music, right? Yeah, it's kind of, it's very 80s, isn't it? Very old school, very
cheesy,
a little bit campy, almost, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
It very much a product of a time, right? But this looks kind of more serial, like more super serial.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, we were talking about kind of like a future vision with a bit of parody to it. I think RoboCop had a bit of tongue in cheek.
Humor,
even though it was very, very gruesome and very, very dark in places, it did have, you know, like with your when I was watching the YouTube video, the top comment was, "I'd buy that for a dollar," you know, it like
buy
like
that for a dollar
TV advert, right? So it's man, like they're definitely tapping into that, and it, you know, there's room there for that kind of comedic,
that's super good, you know,
hint, yeah,
oh, super good. But like, I tell you what, do you know what got me thinking? Like, so this was good. And I'm kind of interested in this as well. Like, and like we said before, it's kind of like the game no one asked for, really. Like, like we were saying before we started recording, right? Like, I don't know how many people are out there being like, we need a RoboCop game, man. Like, we need RoboCop content, yeah. But when I was watching the trailer, all I thought of is, ma'am, can you imagine if there was a Judge Dredd game in this style?
Oh, wow.
Oh, mate, come on now.
Well, you know, like, I mean, again, it's another one of those ones where, like we were saying in our Predator Concrete Jungle episode, right? There's definitely a fan base that's ready and willing for that whenever it drops.
Mate, I would love a Judge Dredd game in this same kind of style. Like, even the start of the trailer, going back to the start of the trailer, you know, when they're like zooming out on the city, and they've got like the punk kind of gangsters in like the windows of the tall buildings,
Yeah.
All I could think of, mate, was, it's Block War, man.
Block War. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Totally. Could totally see that happening.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how sick would that be? Oh, man. That'd be fucking awesome. You know? But overall, like, the game looks interesting. Like we said, the gameplay loop is a little bit mysterious. We don't know if it's open world. I don't know if it's just going to be a linear story game. But the environment's already looked nice. The gameplay looks clean, and it looks like what you'd expect, I guess, from RoboCop, right? Like you said, slow, methodical, but with purpose.
Yeah, you know? And, you know, the kills look pretty satisfying. Like we've said, being able to kick dumpsters into people, heads exploding, and just like just a jam going everywhere. Even ED-209, the robot platform, right, that he fights in the film, even that makes a return. It looks like that's going to be some kind of boss fight or showdown. Mm. So there's going to be a lot of moments that I think they're going to be kind of, there'll be throwbacks to the film. But we've also got the opportunity here to kind of explore a brand new original adventure with RoboCop, which is cool. And I might be clutching at straws here, but I'm pretty sure they're probably going to get the actor to voice RoboCop as well.
Oh.
They used the voice line, didn't they? Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me. And it definitely sounded like the original Murphy. So that would be kind of cool. I mean, they did it for the latest Mortal Kombat game, didn't they? Yeah, they put RoboCop into that.
They did it's very true. Oh yeah, they did. I kind of forgot about that.
All original voice lines by the original actor. So you know, there's plenty of room for it.
Genuinely, completely forgot that he was in the new one.
Yeah. Well, even the Terminator's in that as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously not Arnie, but
yeah, that is the bitter point on that one. It's not Arnie.
But yeah, there's a lot of, and I think, anytime you go back and you try and make a game from a franchise like either of these, Terminator or RoboCop, there is always going to be that fan base. You know, those people that obviously remember it from the 80s, people that grew up watching it with their parents and stuff like that, right?
The diehard fans, right? Yeah.
There are going to be that. There are definitely going to be those people that will instantly slap those nostalgia goggles on like we always do.
Oh, yeah.
And they're gonna want to ride that train, aren't
they? Yeah, I can't lie. You know, I'm a sucker for a bit of good nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching RoboCop when I was probably too young to watch RoboCop. Just like a lot of the kind of horror films and, you know, creepy films and sight, you know, all those kind of films I watched when I was a kid that I probably shouldn't have watched from an extensive VHS collection.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty functional adults, so it never affected us.
No. You know, we watched all sorts of shit, right? All sorts of shit growing up. And yeah, I do kind of feel the nostalgia of this. I won't lie. Like, I remember watching the original RoboCop, and I remember being very scared when the man's skin was melting off, you know?
Yeah.
And Murphy rocking up with his fucking automatic pistol, the big bastard pistol he's got, in it.
Yeah, very
Which cool. is also shown off in the trailer footage as well. It looks pretty
sick. It is. Yeah.
And, you know, rocking up and just turning people into a fine red paste. This game's got action, you know, it's got violence. So I think it's definitely true to the original, like you said, telling. And like you said, it probably could have a little bit of tongue in cheek in there as well, which would be quite nice.
Yeah. You know, and even if it is, it's a linear story with maybe like 20 hours of gameplay, right? I think that's still going to be a decent title to pick up.
Especially for a game that I didn't think anyone expected coming, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it's half as successful as I think it'll be, like, it'll turn some heads, you know? It'll raise some eyebrows and people will go, oh, yeah, do you know what? That's kind of cool. You know, and who knows, like you said, right, what other franchises are devs going to tap into if this becomes a little bit of a success, right?
I'm just saying, Judge Dredd's on the horizon again, boys.
Hey,
Come on, make a new Judge Dredd game.
I mean, there was a HD remake of the Rogue Trooper game a little while ago.
There was indeed, yeah. Or maybe a HD remake of Dredd vs. Death.
Dredd vs. Death, yeah.
I would love a new one, though, to be honest. Like, can you imagine, like, really, really kind of dark Judges game, horror game almost?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, you know, Dredd vs. Death is good, but it's short. It doesn't last for, you know, it's not a very long experience. And the game's great, but yeah, like, we need more. So I'm totally on board with you. I think a new one would be perfect. And, you know, even if they do it like you said, like this RoboCop game, like, that would be awesome. You imagine running around Mega City 1 as Judge Dredd, just stoving some fucker's head in with your baton, right?
Mate, it would be wild, wouldn't it? Like having that, like having the world of like Mega City 1 and all that kind of stuff in there as well.
But I think their best option really with that, if they were going to do a Judge Dredd game again, have it like GTA. Have Mega City 1 be an open experience, right? So you can, and then you just get calls, like an all points bulletin, like, oh shit, right, there's a block war going down, Dredd, get over there. And then you've got to go and stop the block war.
They could even, if they wanted to even do it even more, right, they could even just have it in the world and you make your own judge, you know?
Yeah.
Make your own judge, right?
That would be great. Like, have it. You could have it online multiplayer as well. If you
like Dredd,
right?
Dredd exists, but you are your own judge. You know, you make your own judge, and you could go off. You know, do judge things, right? Be a judge. And there's so many different aspects of Judge Dredd you could put into it as well, right? I find it hilarious. We started talking about Judge Dredd last time, didn't we? Talk about Judge Dredd again now. I feel like we're gonna have to just double down and just do the entire Judge Dredd section at one point.
Mate, that's not a bad shout. If we shout loud enough, someone will hear.
There's so many things you put into it, right? You can get an immediately different vibe from Judge Dredd, right? You put the dark judges in and it starts getting supernatural, starts getting weird, starts getting horror. Like, you put in, like, you know, the angel family and the cursed earth and it starts getting like Mad Max, right?
Mate, honestly, there's so much.
There's so many different aspects they could counter and kind of tap into, and different genres it could become. Which is endless.
Yeah, and if you fuck up and start killing civilians, then the special judicial service will come after you.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
They'll,
yeah,
they'll take you down. You could become a rogue judge, and then
rogue
you could
judge.
Have yeah, like this. Wow, there's an immense amount of potential for it.
Like Rico, you could be Rico, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you could be like a fucking ganger. And ooh, you could be on the other side.
Cooler, yeah.
The thing,
yeah.
You know?
You could be on the block war.
Yeah.
You know, earning turf for your gang.
Mate, we can dream, can't we?
I'm going to round off a section by saying that RoboCop Rogue City, yeah? I might buy that for more than a dollar.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But if it's on sale for a dollar, I'd definitely pick it up.
I'll buy that.
And it's coming out June 2023 as well. Yeah,
so not too long. Next year, you know.
Next year, yeah. We got about a year to hear more about it and for them to win us over.
I'm looking forward to seeing a bit more, a little bit more. See some UI, see the world a little bit more, you know. I think if they immediately say it's like open world, I might be like, nanny, and immediately like look up and be like, I might, you know, that might capture my attention immediately if they say that, you know.
You have my curiosity, now you have my attention.
And possibly my money as well.
They had that already, mate. It's already gone.
It's already
automatically deducted from your account.
My God. Right, so that was two very weird games that, to be honest, came out of nowhere, really. Untitled Terminator Survival Horror Game, Survival Game, and RoboCop Rogue City.
Yeah, both good for keeping an eye on, though, and I'm very intrigued to see where they go from there. So,
should I put those in a diary?
Definitely. We'll change the channel now. We'll swap over to our film segment of
Reset.
The episode now. And I think we're going to have to delve into Thor, Love and Thunder.
Ooh, buddy. Okay.
So my overview
initial impressions,
of it,
maybe? Initial impressions.
My initial impressions of it, that it was a lot of fun. It felt like a cheesy 80s action film with a 2022 film budget.
Definitely.
The soundtrack was absolutely banging. It was off the chain. Chris Hemsworth kills the comedy stuff. Like, anytime they allow him to kind of let his hair down and do a little bit of comedy, like, he kills it. He's got that natural charisma. He is super funny.
Yeah, he did well. I mean, props to all of the supporting actors as well, because everyone in there had some fantastic moments, I think, you know.
Yeah, and like, you can even tell, like, with Natalie Portman, she definitely looked like she had a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, she loved it. Yeah, she looks like she really enjoyed it.
Like, I mean, you cast your mind back to, like, Thor Dark World, the second one, and she kind of looks like she doesn't really give a shit the whole time she's there.
Yeah.
Whereas
that is probably the worst Thor film, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. No, it's one of the worst Marvel films for me. I do not like that film. It just didn't get on with it.
No.
What I would say, I think Gore was fucking superb.
Oh, dude. Gore was fucking ace, man.
We needed way more time with him.
Yeah, yeah. That was my...
Just didn't get enough screen time. Just
that was my initial complaint when I came out of the cinema. I was like, you know what? I enjoyed it a lot. Christian Bale, man, dude's a fucking legend, isn't he? As per usual.
He is a premium actor.
Method actor as fuck, right? And he's mental. Absolutely mental. You get so absorbed into, like, the world, isn't he? And the role he plays.
Oh, it's immensely good.
Yeah, you know, I just wish we saw him more.
It's the bit when he's... I just knocked my microphone over. Oops. I got so excited then about Thor that I just flung my microphone across the room. It's that bit when he sat in the cage he interrupts the children, right, that he's kidnapped, spoilers and whatnot, blah, blah, blah.
Spoilers, you're listening to this.
It's when he sat there and he's telling the story and he's like, oh, you know, do you like this? And he's got this, like, snake thing with him. You like him? And he just tears its head off, right?
Yeah.
It was so fucking, like, sociopathic, right? And he was giving off, like, serious, like, kitty catcher vibes. You remember from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, it was like, he even put on, like, a little bit of a Cockney accent when he was talking to him as well. Like,
yeah, he did, didn't
children.
He? Yeah, almost like a weird kind of, proper, like, creepy, you know, creepy Cockney London geezer like accent, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, mate, all he was missing was the polo around his eye, mate, and a top hat.
Solo polo vision.
Solo polo vision, yeah.
The Bethnal Green slasher.
But I really, really rated him, and I just think it's a crying shame that we didn't have a little bit more time with him.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
I think. Sadly, with this, I think the character progression for a lot of the characters took a bit of a backseat to the gags and the action, the explosive action that we got from it, which I think is a bit of a shame because we're only really going to get this one film with the Mighty Thor. There was a lot more they could have done with those characters, I think. It was very kind of slapdash. And we know a lot of that footage ended up on the cutting room floor, and Taika Waititi has already come out and said he's not going to be doing a director's cut.
No.
So we'll never get to see
that. Damn, really?
We'll never get... He said that... I actually read an article, and he actually came out and said, like, he doesn't like director's cuts, and he thinks that directors need to be contained, and anything that doesn't end up in the theatrical cut just shouldn't be seen.
Wow, interesting.
So, I'm gutted because I really wanted that extra footage. I wanted to be able to see that character progression. I wanted to see more time with these great characters, which I think is a real shame.
It is a shame, to be fair. Like, I mean, he did a fantastic job, right? Fantastic directing job of it. I think he did the film was splendid. It was funny. It was actiony. It was a good romp all around, right?
Definitely.
100% a different vibe to Doctor Strange that came out a little while ago, right, as well.
Yeah.
And kind of Sam Raimi style of directing, how he directed that film. I think it was a good palate cleanser from that, to be honest, you know.
Yes, definitely. That was, you know, I mean, Doctor Strange was kind of heavy, wasn't it? And it was very bleak.
Well, it had that Sam Raimi, you know, kiss, didn't it? A little.
Absolutely. The kiss of death, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. literally the kiss of death at one point.
Literally the kiss of death. And I've always been a big fan of Taika's work because I feel like he almost has this almost Shakespearean method of mixing comedy and tragedy together. Like, have you watched Jojo Rabbit?
See, I've not. I've been told I need to watch it, but I still haven't watched it.
Yeah, like, that is a perfect example of that because there are some really genuinely funny moments in that film, but there are also some moments that, like, will make you shed a manly tear, like, really genuinely heart-wrenching moment. And I think Thor Love and Thunder had a little bit of that as well. Like, nobody warned us about the ending.
No. There were a few moments that kind of got me, to be fair. I'll tell you one bit that got me as well. Obviously, you know, spoilers once again, turns out okay. But the bit with Zeus and Korg, you know.
Yes.
Where he lightning bolts him, right?
He fucking took him out, didn't he?
I was like, holy shit, he just dropped him, man. Like, what the fuck? Out of nowhere. Didn't see it coming at all, right? I was like, oh my God.
I was also thinking bullshit, though, and I was thinking, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Remember the Pokemon anime, right? When fucking Pikachu beats Brock's Onix with Thunderbolt, and I'm like, hang on a minute. He's a rock type. That wouldn't affect him at all. I was thinking that. I was like, Cork, mate. It's lightning, mate.
It turns out it's just a face.
Yeah, it's just a face. Yeah, they are just a face, aren't they?
Just a face. Stony body. Tiger does a fantastic job of voicing him as well.
Yeah, like he's
holy hell.
My still my favorite line of Korg's is "piss off, ghost." Right when Loki like warps into the the cell in Ragnarok, and then he just kind of disappears, and you just see Korg running onto the screen, "piss off, ghost." And
It's really good. It's really good. And even though you were directing right and voicing him, he still gave a good amount of time to every other character as well. But the way he kind of joked and the jokes he made were just so good. They were just so good. Like, he flowed with Chris Hemsworth so well, didn't he?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, you can tell that they just had an immense amount of fun making this film. Everybody involved had
the back and forth was just fantastic, wasn't it, between the two of them?
Yeah, it definitely was. And we got a little bit more time with Valkyrie, which was cool.
Yes, yeah, it was really cool. At the start as well, you get to see the Guardians for a little bit as well, don't you?
Yeah.
They show up for a little section at the beginning. I tell you what, mate, that bit got me quite good as well. You know, where he's like saying goodbye to Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And he's like giving him the ship. And he's like, you're giving me my own ship. And he's like, it's my own ship. And then he's like looking off and then Chris Hemsworth is like slowly, his face is slowly coming into frame.
He's like peering into frame.
He's like smiling. Yeah, he's got like this smile on. And he's like slowly just coming onto the screen, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's looking. And he's just got this face and it's such a good face.
I saw a great meme featuring that bit where it's like, and it's all, you know, all the Guardians when they're stood on the ramp and it's like my friends wanting to play online with me, and then it's the bit and then it cuts to the frame with Chris Hemsworth in the way and it's like my 40 gig update for the game or something like that.
That's a cracking meme.
It was a fucking I'll try and find the meme and I'll send it to you.
Save me that, because that's a good one. That sounds like a good meme.
It was an absolute zinger.
But their reaction was really good. It was nice to see the Guardians again briefly as well, because I'm pretty sure they're doing one more, aren't they? But only one more Guardians film potentially.
I know for a fact
of the Guardians.
Dave Bautista's only doing one more. He only wants to play Drax one more time.
Yeah.
And that'll be for volume 3. So we are going to have a lot less Guardians.
Well, it will be
by the end of the next Guardian film.
I mean, it may just be like another for current Guardians, right? You know what I mean? Like, you have the Guardians, obviously, but the current iteration of the Guardians.
It's a change of the guard, right? Because they're doing the same with the Avengers at the moment as well, right? Yes. Where a lot of the older ones, they're kind of moving out organically and so on and so on. Some of them are just being killed unceremoniously.
I mean, to be honest, I did think this would have been Chris Hemsworth's last film as well, to be honest, as for. I kind of thought that when I went into it, you know? I was expecting that to be his last one.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought the same as well. I actually thought that
he's done a lot now, right? Like, he's done a hell of a lot, you know.
Yeah.
I thought they might have been setting up Natalie Portman, maybe.
Yeah, but I thought exactly the same thing. But Chris Hemsworth has said he will come out and he will do Thor as many times as people want him to, because he loves doing the role.
Yeah.
But I like you. I thought Chris Hemsworth was going to hang up the hammer. And I thought that Natalie Portman was going to be taken over from here, but this was actually her last film.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, she she perishes at the end, which is a bit of a sad moment, to be honest. Both me and the missus, we were looking at each other through teary eyes.
It was a little bit sad, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe when we were sat there, we were both imagining ourselves in the role of Thor and Mighty Thor.
Oh.
And we were both there like, oh man, that's really sad. Like, because, you know, he has to let her go. And it's like she makes that sacrifice. She puts she picks up the hammer one last time, even though she knows that it's going to kill her. So yeah. she can save Thor, so he can live on, and so he can carry on doing his best work.
In a bit of a lighthearted take after though, yeah, cheer you up. Did you hear about the Star Wars thing, the Natalie Portman Star Wars thing?
Yes, yeah. It's like it was like, I'm going to be directing some Star Wars stuff soon. I'd really like you to be a part of it. And she's like, dude, I was Padme. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Chad May now.
That's fantastic. He's just like, yeah, I'm going to be directing some Star Wars stuff soon. You know, I'd love to get you involved in it. Just fucking play Padme, bro, in the first three films.
Yeah, I love that he forgot that. That's super cringe, but also fantastic.
Incredibly cringe, but also really funny.
Yeah.
Like, really, really funny. It's just like working for Disney, yeah, on the payroll now, you know, doing more projects. Didn't even remember that she was involved in, you know, the prequel films.
too many people forget about those prequel films, mate.
I feel like the latest films made us love them even more.
Definitely, mate. Yeah,
I love them.
I definitely have a new appreciation, as we've said before. But we won't. But we won't.
No,
we won't do that.
Hold.
We won't
Hold.
Talk about those
Hold.
Ones.
Hold.
Have you got any before we segue? Have you got anything else about Thor?
Yeah, no, I just do. Yeah, yeah. So like you said, Christian Bale, man, fucking hell, what an actor, immense.
Excellent.
Absolutely immense. His portrayal of Gore was fantastic. Like, he was creepy, serious, emotive.
Good motives as well for wanting to kill the gods. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Like, what I fucking loved, yeah, one of our favorite bits is where they go into the shadow realm, right? And it's all black and white.
Yeah.
From his eyes, and apart from the weapons, the only things that glow. And his eyes are the only things that glow as well. And it's dead creepy. It goes black and white. It's fantastic. It looks amazing in black and white, right? And he's just so creepy. He's got these, like, teeth that are almost like needles, isn't he? He's got like needle teeth, and
his eyes are like amber, aren't they? They're like wolf eyes.
Yeah, he's got like wolf eyes, and it just it looks fantastic. Like that sequence with him, where it's black and white and stuff like that, it just looks so good. I was really
when he's
impressed,
like raising that army of like shadow creatures and stuff.
Yeah.
That's on that planet, and they're having the big fucking showdown. Like that was a cool moment.
It was
definitely
really cool. It was nice as well. Like Christian Bale did a hell of a good job as Gore. Like, I wish we got more time with him. The point I wish they did is I wish they showed us a bit more of his montage when he was killing the gods.
Definitely. Yeah. You know what I mean? I would have liked to have seen him. Yeah.
Because
definitely.
Obviously there's that big bit with Sif, isn't there, at the start? And the other big god that dies, and Thor obviously turns up late, doesn't he? Save Sif, but the other god is dead. Gore's gone. Like, there was a whole fight there, wasn't it, that was never shown?
Yeah, I think, and let's be honest, right, that's probably part of the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor. We probably would have seen that if we had the full four-hour version of the film that it was supposed to be.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I think it ended up being about 4 hours worth of footage.
Oh, Christ almighty.
They cut it down to like two in the end.
Yeah.
So, but I'm always, like for me, I don't know about you, but whenever I've got a chance to spend more time with the characters I like, I'm going to fucking do it.
100%, mate. Yeah, definitely. Like, it just would have been cool because obviously at this point, right, you hear lots of stories about Gore, and it's told that Gore's been on this fucking, you know, God Slayer mission right across the galaxy, killing every kind of god under the sun. It's just they kind of back it up, don't they? Like, you've got all this stuff that, you know, could have been, but they don't, they don't show it, which is a bit of a shame because that would have allowed to show maybe a bit more action scenes would have been cool. And also you would have seen more Christian Bale as well.
Yeah, which is as my kind of final piece on it really is that I think it was a bit of a flawed masterpiece, right? It was great in some ways and perfect moments in some parts and very lacking in others.
Yeah.
So I think Ragnarok is still definitely a better Thor film. I think that's still
yes,
my favorite.
Yes, no, I do as well. I think Ragnarok is still the top of the peak for Thor films.
If not just for Carl Urban, because he's brilliant, right?
Just for Carl Urban, yeah. Well, anything with Carl Urban, mate, we love, you know.
Agreed,
we are advocates of Carl Urban in this town.
Absolutely, yeah.
Also, big up Dredd. Big up Dredd.
Yeah, see, we're bringing it back to Dredd.
Come back, Carl. Come back. Play Dredd again, man. Please.
Yeah.
You'll play Dredd so good. Fuck. One more thing before we close off this segment and we travel to a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe, mate.
Oh, yes. How could I forget? Yeah.
What about Russell Crowe?
Zeus was brilliant.
Zeus was fucking amazing, wasn't he?
Mate, that, honestly, he was killing me with that Greek accent. Oh my God.
It was so thick. He puts on, like, for people who haven't seen this yet, once again, obviously, I mean, spoilers for this episode, he does the thickest Greek accent possible, doesn't he?
Oh, mate. It's like when he's arguing with Thor and he just gets to the point where he's like, fine, you are uninvited to the orgy.
Uninvited to the orgy.
Oh, my God. He's crying.
When he's sat there, like, spinning the lightning bolt and he's like, the lightning bolt. Yeah. He's like spinning it around and like throwing it up in the air and like catching it and stuff like that. I was like, it's so fucking stupid.
Oh, it was perfectly fucking, it was just daft and whimsical and, oh, man, that was... Like Russell Crowe, man. I've always liked him as an actor, but like,
yeah,
that for me, that was like Russell Crowe's version of like when Tom Cruise did Les Grossman in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, like he let go, didn't he? And just like,
fuck, man, yeah, absolutely.
Just enjoyed it.
Yeah,
just had a really fun time with it. Like, because his character was hilarious. I really fucking enjoyed his character in the film. I thought he was just funny. He was just super funny, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and also probably see him again because post-credit scene, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that was Hercules, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Yes, Hercules.
His son. So
Hercules.
That's a really exciting prospect for me because we're going to see a lot of gods now from other kind of mythological backgrounds coming in. So, you know, what I'm looking forward to, I want to see their version of Hades. I want to see what they do with Hades because Hades is the best. He's the absolute peak fucking
Hades is really cool.
Greek mythological character.
I tell you a fantastic portrayal of Hades that I really like. I'm going to get back to video games really quickly. God of War's portrayal of Hades.
Yeah.
I think God of War, Hades and God of War looks awesome. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, very cool.
You know, obviously that's fucking way too X-rated for a Marvel film, but I just think he looks really cool in that game. You know, they can't have chains in the back, cut up body with like a head, with like a furnace thing strapped to his head, you know?
Honestly, though, they're getting more and more kind of like cheeky and risque, right? They drop shit a few times in this film, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I'm still on the edge of my seat there, man, yeah, because this conversation came up with a few of my friends I went to watch it with again, yeah, when we left, yeah. And it's always something that's on my mind after every Marvel film. But Blade, though. What about Blade, though?
Yeah.
What about Blade, though? You know what I mean? Because I cannot do it. I cannot do no PG Blade film, man. It can't be done.
No. I'm on the same, mate. We're on the same wavelength.
Can't do it. I just cannot do it, bro.
They cannot afford to. Please. They cannot afford to neuter the action.
No.
In Blade, it's got to be gruesome. I want to see kills. Yeah. I want to see fangs getting ripped. I want to see heads getting chopped off. Arms getting splattered all over the walls. Yeah. Like it's got to happen, dude.
Like I said, they've proven they can have a dabble in it, right? Deadpool obviously is proof of that, right? That it can be a Marvel film, that's a bit more risky, a bit on the nose. But I think my biggest issue with it is they obviously want to bring him into the main line, right? They want to bring him into...
Yeah. It's concerning that they've already made it a 12A. And there's plenty they can get away with in a 12A these days.
Yeah, Stranger Things. Doctor Strange. Proves like that if they want to, they can get quite a lot, can't they?
Yeah, as long as you're not showing all of that visceral shit happening
but
there
like,
and then.
Keep how the vampires died in the original Blade films, because I think that was fine.
Have them fizzle up, yeah?
Yeah, how they like ashed in the Blade films, that's one of my favourite ways that I've ever seen vampires die in, like, media, to be fair.
I agree, you know? Yeah.
I think that's one of the best ways.
It's cool as well, because, you know, like, from a real world perspective, it's hard to prove that they were ever there, because they ash out, don't they?
Yeah, they just ash out completely, right? You know, like,
so it's hard to prove their existence, because there's all evidence of their existence is completely erased.
Yeah, completely, man, completely. Like, I think that's definitely a good way for them to go, and I wish they do. And to be honest, man, I was talking to a friend when I was walking home with him after seeing this film, and we got talking about Blade and stuff like that again.
Yeah,
and we're just like, it's obviously a shame, right, that Wesley Snipes isn't going to be in it or anything like that yet, but I just really hope that Marvel got to show some kind of love, right? Like, some kind of love. Because any kind of hark back to the original films, mate, because those are so important, remember? Without those films, you would not have any of the Marvel films you've got today.
Yeah.
Like, I always feel like people forget about that, but literally, you would have no Marvel films today if it wasn't for the first Blade film coming out. You would have none at all. None at all. All because of that film.
And we're huge advocates of the original Blade trilogy anyway, right?
100%, yeah. Love those all of them are good. The third one, obviously, is a bit hit and miss, I guess, but the first two are just...
That's the thing. I don't hate the third one.
No, I don't actively hate it. I don't think it's bad, but I think it's my least favourite out of the three.
Sadly, Ryan Reynolds upstages everybody in that one because he's Ryan Reynolds. He's fucking brilliant.
He is brilliant.
That's basically Deadpool before Deadpool, right?
Yeah, it was. Pretty much.
The way that he plays, is it Hannibal King?
Hannibal King, yeah.
Yeah, Hannibal King. And that is... The way he plays that character is basically Deadpool, you know. He's like, and basically anything that Ryan Reynolds does, he just plays himself, right?
Exactly. So yeah.
It's just an extension of himself and his sense of humor. So, it was always not going to go quite so well because Wesley Snipes sadly was upstaged, even though he's fucking brilliant.
Oh yeah,
he was upstaged by Ryan Reynolds and his character.
Yeah, you know, it, like I said, there's no secret to people out there, right? We said it before, Wesley Snipes. We love Wesley Snipes, man. Fantastic actor. Absolutely love him in stuff. Love him in Demolition Man as well. Fantastic film.
And the fact that he can, like, even when he came back for Expendables 3 and he laughed at himself about the tax evasion thing.
That was fucking funny.
Fucking excellent. Like, comedy genius, mate. Comedy gold right there.
Fuck's a fast, too. But, yeah, getting away from Marvel before we go on about it. All night long.
Overall, put it on hold for long enough.
Overall, though, good film. Enjoyed it. Would recommend, definitely. Ragnarok's still a better one, but this is the second best Thor film that they've made.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Without a doubt. I think that's my opinion. Second best Thor film. So going away from that then, we're going to get on our spaceships. We're going to travel to a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, boy. Obi-Wan Kenobi, though.
Obi-Wan!
So, I obviously... Whenever something new comes out for Star Wars, there's always a lot of inherent hate that goes towards series. My take on it was I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it quite a lot.
I can understand where some people might have certain issues with it and how it fits into the canon, blah, blah, blah. What I will say is that overall, I think it was a definite step in the right direction after Book of Boba. Because I was a little bit disappointed with that. So
I was, like I said, I was disappointed with Boba Fett, but I was mainly disappointed for Boba Fett, mate, for making it a Mandalorian show. That's my biggest problem.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
I actually was enjoying the time with Boba Fett. You know, yeah, it was a bit out there, a little bit. Maybe it was, you know, people were expecting me to be a bit more serious, but I enjoyed the bits I had with Boba. You know, I feel like when they shoehorned in Mando for two episodes, I felt like that just took me out of it completely. You know.
I think it ruined the pacing, and I also think that Boba needed to assert himself and be his own character rather than playing it passive through other characters.
And like I said, it's just I feel like it's made the next season of Mandalorian rather awkward now as well, because it assumes
we've already started it, haven't we?
Yeah, it assumes prior knowledge, and if not, if you're a Mandalorian fan, well, you've got to watch Trips as the Book of Boba Fett now.
It's
not going to make sense. you know what I mean? Like, I just think it was weird, poorly timed. But this series...
Thankfully, we didn't get that same...
No. Thing not, with not, at all. Not at all. This series actually was... It was fairly well-paced. First few episodes, I guess, were potentially a little bit slow. But, you know, when it came out, you did get two episodes in one go, which was nice. Gave you a little bit more to watch, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like the pace wasn't too bad, to be honest. It's a little bit of a slow burn, you know, but enjoyable nonetheless.
It's slow burn, I'd say, for the first two, maybe three episodes, and then it's full throttle for the last three.
Yeah, like a lot of people critique kind of Ewan McGregor in it as well, and they're like, oh, because they expect Obi-Wan, right, to be right in there again, you know, right in the deep end. But I liked the kind of haggard start he got, right?
And the fact that he had to shake off the rust at the end of the day, yeah?
The dude had been hiding out, like, on Tatooine for, like, years, not, right, like not doing years. Anything.
Yeah.
Not doing anything at all. Pretty much cut himself off from the Force completely, right, you know, just living his own existence, isn't he? And hiding, right? So he's not going to be shit out, is he? It's not going to be shit out straight away. He's going to take some time to get ready and get going. So whenever I kept seeing people being like, oh man, it's not like Obi-Wan used to be, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, that's the point. It's not like Obi-Wan used to be.
They were eating their words though at the end though, weren't they?
No, literally, because, mate, the final episode's fucking baller.
Yeah, it's banging, mate.
The fight scene, holy shit, obviously spoilers once again, whole spoiler tag over the entire episode.
Yeah.
Mate, the final fight between Vader and him was ace.
Fucking beautiful.
Fuck mate, me, it was ace.
It's the most aggressive I've ever seen Obi-Wan Kenobi fight
as
well. It
was so good. It was
He holds quite a defensive stance a lot of the time. The way he was fucking going for Vader, like it was like he was like a bat out of hell. He had unleashed that. It was almost like he was tapping a little bit into the dark side with his aggressive stance.
Mate, it's the bit, right, when you're watching it and you're like, okay, what's going to happen here? Right, we got Vader, we got Obi-Wan, like, how serious are we talking? And mate, when he pulls that lightsaber, when he puts his hand forward, you know? Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When he does that pose, mate, I was like, it's on. It's fucking on, dude.
It is on, yeah. I think overall, I really wish that the season had been a little bit longer. I think that we could have definitely easily had at least another 2 to 4 episodes.
I would have loved a bit more time, you know? I would have loved a little bit more time.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot more that they could have expanded on. Again, like, I will always harken back to character development. The more time we get to spend with the characters, the better, in my opinion. I would like to know so much more. Like, the Inquisitors for me are one of the most interesting aspects of the Star Wars universe for me at the moment. And especially after playing Fallen Order, because they were some of the best bits about that game. I really wanted to have more time with the Inquisitors. You know, I would have liked to have seen more of them get into fights, because, you know, we had like the fourth brother, and there was another one as well, one of the sisters. And we didn't really get to see them do anything. They were just kind of their background characters to kind of, you know, to kind of occupy that space. I would have loved to have seen them actually get into a bit of a tussle. Maybe
a little bit more of an involvement would have been really nice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, or even have other, you know, other Jedi involved. Maybe he encounters a few and, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a heroic sacrifice to help Obi-Wan get away.
What I love, mate, is people were complaining like so much, right? Hal tooth and nail before it came out about the Grand Inquisitor, yeah?
Yeah.
And how the Grand Inquisitor looks in comparison to how he looks in Star Wars Rebels, right? If you've played Rebels.
Yes.
And then he wasn't in for half the thing anyway, so why are you complaining?
Exactly. And it's like, when he gets stabbed by Reva and everybody was losing their shit because they were like, oh my God, they have broken the canon. What the fuck? And then he just comes back and he's like, hello.
Of course they're going to do a bait and switch, right? They're not going to do it like, they're not going to do you like that, man, right? You know what I mean? They're not going to just be like, oh, completely disregard a character that features in Rebels so prominently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because let's be honest, right? That's the issue with telling a story like this, because we already know who survives.
Yeah, we do. There is that inherent. There is that inherentness, right? That it's not dangerous for certain characters, like, because you know the outcome, right? You know, when you knew, but that's what I think made the last fight really kind of interesting, right?
Yeah,
because you knew obviously that Vader wasn't going to die, you knew that Obi-Wan wasn't going to die, right, before you went into the situation.
So how the fuck are either of them going to get out of that situation?
Yeah. Unless of course you know you've somehow, well, you've not seen Star Wars before, and in that case, interesting, because you're coming at this from a completely different perspective. You know, which is totally a thing. I imagine there is people out there maybe that have not and have watched it in like chronological order, you know.
Interesting
to hear what those kind of people thought of that situation. But like you said, Zach, you're thinking something completely different. You're thinking, how the fuck are these guys going to get out of this, right? Because they're going at each other and they're going to kill each other, right?
Yeah.
You know, and there's still more shit to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's still more shit to go, dude.
I think it was a very clever thing with the Grand Inquisitor, because that we were all very comfortable and sound in the knowledge that, oh yeah, loads of these characters are in later installments, you know, chronologically.
Yeah.
So they're obviously going to survive. So when Reva fucking stabs him and you're like, oh shit, he's dead. Like,
holy,
he looks
shit,
dead.
Dude, yeah, he looks fucking.
And you're like, oh, Disney have they've thrown off the cuffs here, man. They are are they rewriting the canon? Like, so everybody was losing their shit about that.
Exactly.
So
it was clever.
It was clever.
Like, when they're fighting each other as well, what I was saying was, mate, Vader, holy, they did such a good job with Vader in the final fight scene, because he starts off very strong. Obviously, Vader ends up going on like the back foot, and you start seeing Vader like you've never seen Vader before, don't you? You see Vader concerned, like on the back foot, right? You know, like he's struggling to breathe. His suit's taking damage, isn't it? Yeah. Half his mask has been cut off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And mate, his fucking face under the mask, dude, he looks fucking mean.
Menacing.
He looks so fucking mean in that scene, didn't he? Holy shit, dude. He looks so fucking angry. Like, the hatred, didn't he? Like, you saw, he looked so twisted.
We were promised a dangerous and darker Vader, and they definitely delivered with that. You know, it's like the bit when they make it to that small mining community, right?
Yeah.
And Vader's walking through the street, and he just fucking force pushes a bloke up against the wall. His son runs out. The son just gets his neck snapped.
Force snapped. Kills him.
Dead.
He's got no qualms, right?
Yeah, like he's scary.
And
he's
like
scary.
I said, the eyes, like when you just see him like looking at Obi-Wan and his eyes are just fucked, and like the face that he's sort of like pulling behind the mask, like, oh, dude, it just looks, yeah, like I said, I was like blown away by it. I was like, damn, man, yeah. Vader looks fucking mean, you know.
That might be one of the coolest fucking. I mean, I still think lightsaber fight sequences wise, I still think my favorite is Anakin and Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh yeah, because that's just like the formula on perfected, Mustafar, though, isn't it?
That
yeah,
is, you know. Oh wow, that's amazing! That fight.
That's a lightsaber fight.
Yeah, I also really like Ahsoka versus Maul in Clone Wars.
That's a good one
as well.
Yeah.
That's a banger. That's a really good fight. That's actually one of Darth Maul's best fights.
I can't deny it, right? But it's obviously, you know, Phantom Menace, right? The first Darth Maul.
Oh, and that one's brilliant fight. Yeah,
it is just iconic, isn't it? Right? Let's be honest. It doesn't get more iconic than that.
A Sith apprentice, right? You know, overcoming. A Jedi master and nearly killing an apprentice is a big deal, right?
And also, it was just such an impressionable scene, right? I think on me as a kid, because it's no secret, I've already said it before numerous times, but I was the kid that always used to love the bad guys, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, same here.
Always love the baddies, you know? And it doesn't get more badass, does it, than Darth Maul, you know? Alien. It's got red and black skin. It's got devil horns, bro. Evil eyes
all over his head.
Not only has he got a red lightsaber, bro, it's double ended. It's double ended, bro.
Clad in black, looking mean as fuck.
Looking mean as fuck, you know. He rocks up. He rocks up, and he kills one of the main character's masters like it's nothing, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that was fucking ace. That was so good. And it's like they kind of got that right with the start of that fight with like Vader, that same kind of, you know,
same
Vader's
vibe.
Out to fuck him up, you know what I mean? Like, you don't care anymore. And to be fair, the series is, it's one of the more graphic series, to be fair. You know what I mean? Because, like, another bit I think it deserves prop when they're on the mining planet, you know, and the Vader and Obi-Wan meet for the first time properly, And fucking Vader just drags him through the fire.
Yeah, he lights up those, like, coals, doesn't he, And he's just raking Obi-Wan's body across the fire and the coals, burning him up.
He's like, suffer how you made me suffer. And he's
dragging
his face through the fucking, like, the hot coals, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, that was a fucking powerful moment, you know.
That's what I mean, dude. Like, they are pushing the boat out for a little bit more violence than Star Wars, which I'm all for, to be honest. I think it's quite a good idea.
How long have we been calling for a darker side to Star Wars?
Yeah, dude. I think this one hit the nail on the head, man. I've always said, they could do a lot more kind of darker scenes in Star Wars and make it a bit more mature. And I feel like Obi-Wan is more a lot more of a mature series, isn't it?
It was definitely leaning towards it, yeah. Definitely, you know, into that kind of bleak time when the Empire is at its peak. Mm. They definitely captured that atmosphere fantastically.
Yeah, incredibly, yeah.
Another thing I will say with Vader as well, we get to see him pull a ship out of the sky as well, a la, like, Starkiller from
Games. Because I was like, oh, he's not going to pull the ship, is he? And I was like, oh, he's always pulling the ship, dude. Holy shit. Immediately flashback to Force Unleashed. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, and the way that he's just using the Force to tear into the hull of the ship as well.
It's like a lot of the Force powers that, like, Vader pulls off in this film, It's all, like, almost, like, primal, isn't it? It's all very aggressive. Like, he pulls off the doors of the transport and the walls. He pelts rocks at Obi-Wan, doesn't he? Like,
buries him alive
underground,
like a sea of boulders, right?
And he's not even stopping; like, he just keeps throwing boulders down there, doesn't he? Like,
and when Reva finally turns against him, and she's swinging at him, and he fights her without even drawing his own lightsaber.
Yeah, he's just like fucking,
like, stopping the blade with the Force, and
that was,
like,
fucking sick. To be fair, yeah,
dude,
that
it's was like a sick moment. She wasn't even worth his time. Yeah. Like, he didn't. Yeah. Oh man,
like, that was good, because I was watching it and I was like, nah, there's no way, like, he's gonna get caught out by, like, you know, by, like, Reaver in this situation. And he's just straight up, oh yeah, man, you know, I knew from the moment, right, that you were just lying.
Yeah.
And it was like, fuck, dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was. So, like, I think if nothing else, like, I know it's called Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I would say just watch the series for the Vader bits. The payoff is fantastic. Yeah,
but, like I said, a lot of the characters in it were quite enjoyable. I liked most of the characters in it. I also liked Reva's character as well. I thought she was quite good. The only problem I had with Reva's character was the kind of the end bit. I wasn't too big a fan of the end bit. I would have preferred, like, keeping her kind of her ending maybe a little bit more mysterious and maybe bring her back somewhere else, you know,
in
the future. Because obviously, right, you did the Vader scene. Vader doesn't kill her properly, right? But she's pretty much, it looks like she could have died, doesn't it? And then she sees the thing, obviously. And you could have ended that bit there and it would have been cool. I think it would be fine. But then they obviously make her do that kind of last kind of Deus Ex villain thing where she goes all the way to Tatooine to try and find Luke and to try and, you know, just kill Luke just to even the score. But, like, I don't know. I don't know if that scene was really needed.
Yeah. And then she can't do it and she's turned a corner and Obi-Wan's like, now you make your own path and stuff like that.
And that's cool. But I was like, I don't know. I feel like it would be cool maybe if she went away and then they brought her back in another time and did something else with her. You know?
I mean, originally, I think this was only supposed to be a limited series though, right? But now I've heard whispers that there might be a season 2.
I was
going to
say the same thing, right? I've heard whispers that we're going to do more because we said very much at the start of this, right? A few months ago when we first started talking about this, that this is a limited one-time deal. But from what I've heard, people want more. People want to do more as well.
Yeah.
And Hayden Christensen has also said he wants to do more as well.
Like, and I think he is leaning more to the fact that he'd like to do a Vader-only series, so an actual series based in and around Vader, which I think would be amazing.
Like, the Star Wars comic series has that, and I've been wanting to read it for a while, and I haven't done it, and I really want to read it. I want to buy, like, the full omnibus for it, but it's, like, 90 quid. Massive book, and it categorizes like the start of Vader up to 4, 5, and 6 basically, and it goes through all of them, and it highlights Vader's early days, Vader getting his lightsaber, Vader making the Inquisition as well, Vader doing all that kind of stuff. So like, there's a full comic series there that can be adapted into a show easily.
Yeah, again, like, it's not like they have a lack of source material as far as Star Wars is concerned, is it, right?
No, there's a metric ton, right? We've already seen them not only drawing on, you know, other stuff, but they've also been drawing from stuff that wasn't made canon, and they're making that canon, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. So
things like Admiral Thrawn, for example, right? They've been made canon characters, and for the longest time they weren't canon after the initial merger of Disney, you know?
That's right,
Disney have started taking bits over, and they're just, you know, filtering them back in, aren't they, to the main universe?
Yeah, and obviously we're definitely going to get Thrawn for the Ahsoka series, which is on its way. 100%. That's still filming.
100%.
So we know that shit's coming.
Thrawn's going to be fucking ace, man.
I think me personally, what I would absolutely love, if they ever decided to go back to that point in time, I would like to see Qui-Gon. I'd like to have a Qui-Gon series where you see him.
Yeah.
Him, because obviously he was Dooku's apprentice.
Yeah, a young Count Dooku as well.
Young Count Dooku, a young Qui-Gon, and see about how he, because by the end he doesn't believe in the Jedi Order. He doesn't believe in what they're doing.
No.
He is a grey Jedi, and he goes
more towards grey, doesn't he?
He does, exactly, and that's why he's allowed to project himself as a Force Ghost, because he's a grey Jedi.
Yeah.
So it would make a really good series, a really good compelling watch to see, you know, the kind of the Jedi Order at its peak again, and to see that kind of like that descent within the ranks, because I guarantee Dooku wasn't the only one that kind of got disillusioned with the Order.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because when the Ahsoka series comes out, right, they're going to lean into the grey Jedi stuff a lot more.
Yeah, which I'm really looking forward to, because the Grey Jedi are very interesting.
Really excited about. But part of me is also excited because I feel like in Ahsoka, we may finally get the first ever tangible link to Revan being existing in the canon Star Wars universe. You know, there's already been a fucking ship in the new films. I know about that bullshit, whatever. I think that's just like, you know, a nice little Easter egg, right?
Yeah.
There's a ship that the First Order have that's called Revan. Cool. I think that's just, you know, a little Easter egg, right? I mean, I want actual tangible...
Like Starkiller Base, right? Yeah. That's just a nod.
Yeah, it's a nod, right? I want actual tangible Darth Revan, though, in the series. And I think it could totally work in Ahsoka, you know?
Yeah.
Revan was obviously the first, you know, Jedi Sith to realize, right, that balance was found with both halves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can't...
You have to be impartial.
You have to be Sith and Jedi together as one. Is balance, yeah? And Revan realized that. Revan was both Sith and Jedi, you know? And he was essentially the Grey Jedi, the origin of the Grey Jedi. So they could quite easily put that into Ahsoka, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Ahsoka could find something, holocron, anything that relates back to Revan, right? And his teachings, how she embraces the side of being a Grey Jedi, you know? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would be such a good link to link Revan into it, you know? Because the thing is, he's going to have to become canon sooner or later, or it's going to be awkward. We've talked about this game before in the Star Wars series, yeah? But the game that's coming out, the Old Republic remake, yeah? Knights of the Old Republic, that remake coming out, that's official. That's licensed by Disney. You know what I mean? That game officially will canonize the Old Republic as a real era of Star Wars.
Those dots are going to have to start being connected, aren't they?
They cannot deny it anymore. They cannot, and I need them to bring it, man, because the Old Republic is like my favorite era of Star Wars. I need them to bring that, bring the heat, because there's just so many cool stories they could do from the Old Republic, and I feel like there's so many good opportunities for them to work that in, you know? And Ahsoka's like a prime example as well. That's not even like, you know, a token way to work it in. It's a prime example. She's a Grey Jedi. Literally there, right? You've literally got an in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Please, Disney. And, please.
I think it would be cool as well if we, you know, there are plenty of opportunities to work in other Force ghosts again, right?
Yeah.
Because she's on that path now. You know, why not have her commune with someone like Qui-Gon Jinn, right? She never met him in person, but that's not to say that he couldn't guide her.
It's totally possible. You know? It's totally possible.
As he did with Yoda.
And also, we got a taste little Qui-Gon cameo, didn't we, at the end of the series?
Oh, we did. It was wonderful, wasn't it?
That was nice. That was nice. I like that a lot.
He spends the whole time, doesn't he, Obi-Wan, trying to reach out to him, and he's lost that connection.
There's bits, isn't there, where you hear him, like, talking, and he's talking to no one, and he's like, yeah, I could really, you know, could really use you to say something right about now.
Yeah. And then it's like, by the end of his journey, he's ready. He's ready to receive that message, you know, and that again, that's it. Obi-Wan starts to tread the path towards the Grey Jedi, doesn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
And you see the beginning of that again with that aggressive stance
like,
that takes me.
Because he's like, isn't he? Yeah, like fucking, you know, Qui-Gon's like, isn't he? You know, I was always here. I was always there. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You just couldn't see me yet. You just couldn't see me, but I was always there.
Yeah,
I was always there, you know. And I feel like they could totally do more because, you know, if Ewan McGregor wants to do more, right, there's still a gap, isn't there, between the end of Obi-Wan to the beginning of Episode 4 that could still be filled. They could still fill this section, couldn't they?
Of course they could.
There's still content there.
Tap into having Ewan McGregor there while he's still able and
while he's still doing it, while he's still in the zone as well, right? Because I was reading like those interviews with him and, you know, he forgot the voice he did for Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
he had to go back. Yeah, he had to go back and watch his stuff again and try and do the voice again. And I think the voice he ends up going with in the series still isn't exactly his old voice, but I think it's got that little bit of a gruff to it that you would get because he's older, right?
Yeah,
he's an older character. Because I don't think it's like a one for one at all. He's tried to do. He's taken it and he's molded it a little bit. But
it's somewhere in between Episode 3 and now, right?
Yeah,
And A New Hope. So it's like it's actually good the way that he's done it because it's not one or the other. It's somewhere in between.
He's old, but he's not too old.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I overall, I was quite happy with it. I mean, obviously, the elephant in the room is that. Obviously, him and Leia have met before, and people were like, oh, you know, well, Leia said, oh, you fought for my father in the Clone Wars. And it kind of insinuates that she's never really met him in person before.
Yeah.
The way that she speaks to R2 in New Hope, right? But honestly, that wasn't a big issue for me.
If you wanted to be super serial about it, I don't know, you could be like, well, she was a child, right, at the time.
Yeah.
She was young. She was a child.
I wasn't that bothered about that.
And in all fairness, right, this is not the first time that's happened. I know they do tie the Clone Wars up quite well, but I mean, we could still address the elephant in the room that is Episode 3, right?
Yeah,
and kind of the missed opportunities. I mean, where's Ahsoka in Episode 3?
Well, I mean, they do kind of explain that, don't they?
That's what I mean. They do explain it, but you know, there's obviously no. Yeah, there's obviously no mention.
She's
or anything
never
like
mentioned
that, is there?
At all.
There's no mention. Where's the mention, right? There's no mention of a Padawan, is there? There's none of that, right? So you could say it with that as well. There's going to be a time, right? And the time has come in Star Wars now where there's going to have to be a few little continuity mistakes, you know, because they can't do it. They can't undo what they've done,
isn't it? Yeah, it is a mammoth task to try and make that all fit. And to be honest, right, if it was the choice between having a little bit of a continuity error and having Ahsoka in the universe or not having the continuity error and not having her, like I know which one I'd pick.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. Just take the slight error. It don't matter, right?
Ahsoka becomes such a good character.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, 100%.
It's the payoff is worth the little bit of
this
a,
is why you know, this is why she's getting her own show rent, right? This is correct. You know, she's a very important character to the lore. Like I said, if she was done with the intention there was to have her from the start, if she was conceptualized before episode 3 had happened, she would have been in episode 3. I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
In real episode 3, not, you know, the Clone Wars bit, but in the actual live action episode 3. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, they do tie it up nicely, which is very good. I'm glad they did. But obviously, you know, there is still a little bit of that continuity because you could just be like, well, why wasn't it mentioned in like the end of episode 2 or, you know, the start of episode 3? You know? So it's, you just got to take it with a bit of salt in it at the end of the day.
You do, yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
And it's not, you know, and to be honest, right, even so, like, the only way that they would really bother to mention that really would be if it was like an unnatural exposition drop for the benefit of the audience.
Exactly. So when you've got Leia not exactly fully knowing Obi-Wan yet, it's not a problem, is it? Let's be honest.
It's not an issue.
It's such a minor problem, right? You know, it's not going to be a thing, right? Episode 4 was done so long ago, right? When the concept of Star Wars wasn't even a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first one. 4 was the first one, wasn't it? Like, they obviously had no idea where it was going to go from there, did they? You know, decades later, they were going to do a spin-off show where they got Leia again, and she's young.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to make a link between her knowing who Obi-Wan is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That was just it wasn't a thought for them, wasn't it? It didn't occur to them.
It's just not that much of a big deal in the grand scheme, is it?
It's not at all. It's a very moot debate, I think.
Yeah, and it's being picky for the sake of being picky.
I think, totally.
In that regard, there are series that suffer from far bigger fucking issues that people have like
smoothed
over and walked away from.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like, oh, well, you know, fucking Leia doesn't know who everyone is, bro, in episode 4, and it's like, well, yeah.
there's always going to be that element of the fan base that will pick on those things, and that's fine, right? If it's a big deal to them, that's fine, right? Because you know, like, if you're going to feel passionate about something, you know, that's fine. Like, be passionate about
it. I'll tell you what, if you're going to feel passionate about something, you want to learn about something, yeah? Talk about the fucking Luke Skywalker scene, bro, where he's aggressively drinking the milk.
That's it. Oh, I've just forgotten about that.
Mate, you feel uncomfortable when you watched it.
Oh, mate, it's the fact that he winks at me when he drinks it. It's just, no.
I was talking about that today at work, that exact scene, so it's fresh in my mind.
That's me.
I was like, just drinking it from the source, mate.
I bet it's still warm.
It's just how angry he looks. It's like, oh god, that scene.
The only way that could be any more gross is if he reached in and he pulled a hair out of his teeth.
Oh god. Like I said, the new film, I still don't like the new trilogy, right? I'm adamant about that, but there was a few moments in between here and there that, you know, that are quite funny. Like I said, I don't know whether to laugh or cry at the Luke Skywalker bit because it was funny, but it was also like, oh, good Lord, no.
It's a shame because I actually really like the First Order. Mm. I like the designs of the Stormtroopers.
Yeah,
I like
cool.
the weapons, and Hux is fucking, he's a magnificent specimen.
Yeah,
all of his own,
the thingy trooper, the Sith troopers, they were really good. The red troopers,
the Sith troopers are cool. The red ones, yeah.
Ooh, really actually, good. I will say they were really cool in Obi-Wan. You know, the stormtroopers, like the death troopers.
Yeah, yeah. We'd only seen those in Fallen Order before.
Yeah,
right?
So they brought them Fallen Order, haven't they? Put them into this.
Yeah,
because
they're making so many like references to Fallen Order right now, aren't they? Yeah. Like with Book of Boba, you had BD.
Yep, yeah.
The BD unit, right?
Well, like I said, it is canonized. Yeah, we are just waiting. We are waiting for that Cal Kestis live action. You know.
Oh, mate, I don't know whether it will happen, but like if it does, like there's going to be a big pop from me.
Obi-Wan, see, if it did season 2 or Ahsoka, you could kind of snug him in, just fit him in a little bit. On
yeah, yeah, I totally agree.
Put him in there somewhere easily, you know. But yeah.
Most importantly, have you actually finished that game yet?
No.
Oh,
but I did get to the bit recently where I had the Death Troopers with the kind of the ones that are in the show, basically. So when I saw them in the show, I did the fucking Leonardo DiCaprio thing from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, here it comes. Yeah, here I am.
I was like, oh, look at that. I was like, holy shit, it's the ones before Fallen Order. I was like, I fought those like recently on Kashyyyk. I know those.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do you know, they were a difficult enemy, but they were really cool.
Yeah, they were quite cool because like, I wasn't thinking too much of them because I was like, oh, the Vibroblade ones are really cool and you can kind of cross, you know, you can kind of fight them because they kind of got like lightsabers.
You got those ones with the giant fucking like hammer.
Yeah, exactly.
Things,
yeah. Right? And then you got the guys with the gun. I was like, what's the guy with the gun going to do? But they're surprisingly difficult.
They're agile. They got grenades. They're fucking
surprisingly
raw nails.
But yeah, I would love to see Kyle Kestis get put into the mainline universe, man.
Man, so would I. So would I.
Everything is. Perfect. I mean, they've got everything they need. It. They've got the actor. They've got it all. It's good to go.
Like we said before, man. It, you know, the character shares his likeness, so it's actually super fucking easy.
It's just a one for one, isn't it? Yeah.
Even if he's in there for like 5 minutes, like just do it because it'll get such a cool reaction.
He's a big fan character. Like I said, he has been officially canonized. He's got his own lightsaber at Disney World, mate. You know, you made it when you get your own lightsaber at Disney World.
Oh, mate, absolutely.
Right? Is there any more? Proof of canonicity, even having your own lightsaber at Disneyland.
I don't think it gets much better than that, mate. To be honest.
Doesn't get any more real, does it?
Your own plushie, maybe.
Ooh, that is a real one. Yeah, your own plushie.
That's my goal. That's my goal to get my own Star Wars plushie.
Or you get, you know, you made it. Yeah, when not only do you have your own Star Wars plushie, but you've got like Mickey Mouse dressing as you.
Oh, mate! Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when they've got like Mickey Mouse and the crew dressing up as other characters, you know, like Donald Duck as a stormtrooper or something like that. Or Donald Duck as Darth Maul, actually. That was the one they did.
Yeah.
So you know you made it then. So you've got Kyle Kestis, Mickey Mouse.
Definitely. Yeah.
Oh God. But yeah, I really enjoyed the series. I'd totally recommend you guys check it out on Disney Plus. All on there as well. And every episode's on there. There's like 6, 7, isn't there? Something like that.
Six episodes. Six you can binge episodes. That shit yeah. right now. I would highly recommend that you do 100%. It.
For the end episode payoff is so worth it, honestly. So worth it. And if you're a Star Wars fan, I mean, it's kind of important. it's kind of needed.
And there's a cheeky little clone trooper cameo in there as well.
That was a good scene, actually. I forgot to mention
Tamara Morrison, yeah. Yes. And he's a 501st trooper as well, which is Anakin's Legion. Which I thought was quite cool. But that's the first. That was actually the first time, right? Tamara Morrison has obviously voiced clone troopers before, Django and so on. That's the first time he's actually been a live action clone trooper.
Which is kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering he is the clone troopers.
He's been the voice for like 20 odd years. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good to see. I liked that scene. That was a little nice, you know, a little nice nod.
They give each other a bit of a knowing nod as well. It's almost like they know, isn't it? Yeah.
That's the thing, because obviously they picked the Legion specifically, you know, don't they? Because it was Anakin's Legion in the Clone Wars.
That's it. Like anybody that was in the 501st would know Obi-Wan because they fought quite. It was, Cody's was obviously with Obi-Wan. It was the 300 and summit regiment.
Yeah, it was the gold.
They're like white and orange, aren't they? Yeah. And those legions, they fought very closely together because Anakin and Obi-Wan were normally together, right? Yeah. So there's no way that clone trooper, I mean, unless his brain was so addled that he didn't recognize anybody's face.
Yeah.
There's no way that they couldn't have known that it was them.
Right? Also, I saw a lot of speculation after the episode came out. Everyone thought it was Rex. Everyone thought it was Rex as well. But
yeah,
he's not Rex. I don't think it's Rex. It's not Rex.
No, because the helmet wasn't right.
Yeah, exactly. Rex had
a different helmet, didn't he? He had the tactical visor piece. Yeah.
I don't think it's Rex, but some people claim to think it's Rex, but I don't think it is.
And also because Rex has had his chip removed, he fucks off and he's part of the resistance.
He's not included in that. So
at that point in the story, I'd imagine he's probably running around with the rebels lot.
Yeah, he's not thinking. I mean, I never watched all the rebels, so I don't know. How much he features in that, or if he does, or if anything happens to him in that.
He's definitely a pretty big feature in Rebels.
I feel like if he is still present then and still alive by the end of that, or whenever the Ahsoka series sets, they got to put him in Ahsoka, surely.
Yeah, and there are other clone commanders as well that he has. There's this really, really good moment in Rebels that is fantastic, where the Empire send in AT-ATs, and the couple of clone commanders there. It's Rex, Wolf, and there's one other one.
Yeah,
and they have one of the old clone AT-ATs.
Yeah,
you know, the six-legged walkers with the cannon on top.
Yeah.
And they bull rush an AT-AT and they bring it down with the AT-TE.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
It's fucking brilliant, mate. It's so good. That's right. That episode is well worth a watch.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I have finally Zachary here where they're saying like they'd like to see Rex maybe appear in the Ahsoka series.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an option, I think. Especially because Ahsoka's looking for Thrawn and Ezra is... The last time we saw Thrawn, he was with Ezra Bridger and they warped off into space together. Yeah. So I would definitely imagine that we're probably going to get Ezra as well if not in the flesh, then a mention of him.
And to be fair, Morrison has said as well in an interview, he said that he would like and would express interest in playing Captain Rex in a live action film.
I think that would be brilliant.
Or a live action setting. He said he would love to play either him or Commander Cody.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And again, that's another way that he can be a part of the Star Wars universe, and he doesn't have to be Boba. Like, he can play it completely different because they are different people.
They are very different people, yeah.
So, like, that would be really good for him, I think. He could just basically, like, he's set now. He could just jump into every fucking series ever. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to be Max
Clone. Did you see the other article he did when he was like, where he said about a story how he went all the way to London to just do one line? they flew him all the way to London, and he was like jet lagged as hell, didn't sleep, 24-hour flight near enough, right? Came there, got there, got into the uniform, said one line, and that way they were like, all right, no worries, you're all good now, you can go. And he was like, can I not do it a little bit more? Can I not, you know, add a little bit of it, put someone on it?
let me rub some funk on it.
Yeah. Like, he wanted to do a little bit more because he literally went there and he got him to do like a single like bit, and they were like, yeah, that's it, we're good.
Could you spare any change? Like, that's it.
So that was quite funny. But I think that was during one of the other films, but quite interesting though that was a thing. Not during that exact bit, but another part. It was like during that Star Wars fest. He was answering like fan questions.
Yeah.
But that was quite funny. Imagine that. You flew all the way from like New Zealand, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Just for that.
Like a bantha.
like a bantha.
Mate, that fucking meme.
That bit was improv. I think you said that as well in the same interview.
Yeah.
The bit where he does the gesture.
like a bantha.
Like a bantha. And now everyone, when they meet him, everyone wants him to sign it, and they always want that on it.
Yeah.
Like a bantha.
Mate, honestly, that meme is fucking
exactly. People be chatting shit about Boba Fett, but like, look, come on. That's golden, isn't it?
Well, yeah, like I said before, man, like I liked the whole Tusken Raider bit. I thought that was really cool where he was like, because you've got to learn more about the Tusken Raiders. Now they're not just like sand savages, you know, you've actually got more.
Yeah, I liked the Tusken Raiders spectrum.
Yeah, you've actually got more kind of like emotional, an emotional connection to them. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, completely, man.
Yeah, so I think overall, Star Wars is starting to move back in the right direction.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
I'm very
happy. We have addressed the complaints. We have restructured. Moved on.
Yeah, and I think moving forward, we're in for some good times.
And also, he does say the line, doesn't he, at the end?
Hello there.
Hello there.
Yeah,
that was like, it was like a Simpsons episode where everyone's like, "Do it, Bart. Save a line, Bart. Save a line." Everyone was like, go on, everyone, save a line.
He said the line.
He said the line. Yes. He was like, hello there.
Hello there. I leapt out of my armchair. It was an exciting moment for me.
Yeah, it was good. It was proper good. Yeah, it was well worth a watch. Some great memes, a great time. But yeah. Anyway, everyone, I think that's about it for today. Thank you ever so much for listening to our ramble about two random games and two pretty good series.
Yeah, thank you ever so much for listening, as always. Stay tuned for more. I'm not sure what we're going to do next. We'll figure out as we go along, as always. And until then, stay safe.
Take care.
Be good to each other.
Be good to your fellow man.
Bye, everyone.
See you later.